NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the investment firm of Raymond James, wealth management, banking, and capital markets. Learn more at lifewellplan.com.
88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. You're listening to Morning Edition. And Jeff Shapiro joins us now for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne.
A lot to talk about today.
Indeed.
Bob McDonnell and his wife, Maureen McDonnell, were indicted this week by federal prosecutors and a federal grand jury. Not totally unexpected, I suppose, after the lengthy investigation of their financial dealings with a dietary supplement manufacturer. But a shock, nevertheless, to the sensibilities of some Virginians who long have been told that the state is above the grimier side of politics.
Indeed, the image of a governor under indictment, standing trial on criminal charges, perhaps facing a criminal conviction, possibly jail time, in this case, decades, 30 years at least, if the book is thrown at Bob McDonnell, assuming he is convicted, assuming we get to that point, fines of $1 million or more, very powerful and very unpleasant talking points for Virginians, at least those who keep a close eye on politics. The interesting thing about this, and there are many interesting things about this, is the reaction of the political class, somewhat muted, the emphasis on the personal tragedy, if you will. But because of Bob McDonnell's and Maureen McDonnell's travails, the General Assembly and the new governor are wrestling with the idea of ethics reform. One thing a lot of people expect them not to do is criminalize a lot of the behavior that seems to have gotten Bob McDonnell in trouble. I suspect there are a couple of reasons for that. One, it may discourage people from standing for office, but I think there are a lot of people as well who are concerned about finding themselves in a calamitous position akin to Bob McDonald. But back to the McDonald's, they will be in federal court today for their arraignment. The governor's position is that he has done nothing wrong, that there was not a quid pro quo, that Mr. Williams did not receive something in return for his considerable beneficence. However, federal law also criminalizes an expectation. And clearly the theme running through that indictment is that Williams and Star as the embodiment of Star Scientific expected something in return, some type of state assistance, whether that was connecting his firm with scientists at state universities, somehow plugging his product into a list of products that might be available to public employees. There'll be a good deal of to-ing and fro-ing on this in advance of the trial. Perhaps motions that could result in the derailing of the federal case against the governor and his wife. There's already been a good deal of that in some of the early filings by the McDonald's.
New Attorney General Mark Herring set off a wildfire by announcing that he would not defend Virginia's ban on same-sex marriage. Republicans are really upset about it.
Well, understandably so. I don't want to put too fine a point on this, but, gay bashing, or what is perceived as gay bashing, is considered an article of faith within segments of the Republican Party. Well, what is going on here is not all that unusual. It has occurred before. Virginia attorneys general have decided that their constituents, the people of Virginia, are best represented by, if you will, inaction. What Mark Herring is doing is saying he's not going to defend this statute. He's taking an extra step by aligning the Commonwealth with the opponents of the 2006 constitutional amendment banning civil same-sex marriage in Virginia. But this has occurred before. In fact, Republican attorneys general have done this. Jerry Kilgore in the early 2000s basically told a federal court that it was not the Commonwealth's intention to defend a ban on incorporation by churches. The plaintiff in that was a religious figure with considerable truck within Republican circles, Jerry Falwell. Going back to the late 90s, Mary Sue Terry, after a pronouncement by then-Governor Doug Wilder, said that she would not defend the single-sex admissions restriction, the all-male admissions restriction at Virginia Military Institute. So this is not unprecedented, and as Mark Herring says, it's about time that Virginia be on the right side of some of these civil rights issues. Remember, this was the state that closed public schools rather than integrate. This was the state that prohibited the races from marrying until that was turned over by the United States Supreme Court.
New Governor Terry McAuliffe continued to press for Medicaid expansion under terms of the Affordable Care Act. He asked the General Assembly, I believe, to give him the authority to take that action if the Reform Commission that's studying it does not act in timely fashion. And also, his administration released some new financial numbers.
Yes, the administration saying that Medicaid expansion to bring uninsured Virginians under Obamacare could save at least $1 billion a year for starters. And the other thing that the governor is doing, which has the Republicans in the House, particularly in the House, in a snit, is this grab, this power grab. One of the points that the governor has been making to Republicans, many of them representing rural Virginia, is that this will mean not just health care for many of their uninsured, uncovered constituents. It will also be a considerable source of revenue to hospitals in rural Virginia, many of which are under stress, if you will, one of which in far southwest Virginia in Lee County closed because of uncertainty over funding under Obamacare, and other hospitals in rural Virginia contracting because of this uncertainty.
Thanks to Jeff Shapiro, who joins us each Friday morning at this time to analyze Virginia political news.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montaigne. Georgia Republican Saxby Chambliss will not